This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, man, look at this. Show's flying today. 5 o'clock quitting time. 5:02, and where are you, man? Hopefully not stuck behind somebody driving slow in the left-hand lane. We start off every hour, every show with a big hearty, hey, man. Carl is on his annual trip out to Vegas, hanging with his boys. Always a great weekend to be out there for the tournament. You know, get all your bets in and watch all the action. It's just, you know, nonstop, man, especially when the games are in sequence. And it's got one big game ending to another big game ending. It's going to be a blast. We'll be at the Hooters, as we mentioned, in Cumberland coming up tomorrow. Hopefully talking about the Dogs getting off to a great start and Mike White's first tournament win for Georgia basketball. This hour of the show, guys, is brought to you by our buddies over at Buffalo Wild Wings. This hour of the show from B-Dubs. Can't stop in. Order Buffalo Wild Wings. Go and pick it up on your way home or for your next event. All right, lots of stuff to cover with the Falcons. We'll start with the signing today, Chris. I had no problem with this. I find no fault with this deal. You're bringing in a guy who's 27 in the prime of his career. He had done some injuries over his career, but Jordan Fuller is the guy. He played three games in 22 for the Rams, 17 in 23. That would be Raheem Morris with was his boss. Played for the Rams for the start of his career, and Raheem was there for much of it. Then last year, nine games for Carolina. So the rub is, can he stay healthy? But you got a veteran safety who, again, if he can stay healthy at 27, you're feeling good. And if he's, you know, better than Justin Simmons, which might not be that difficult, combined with Jesse Bates, what do you think?
I think you now have your starting secondary in place. You may have to get a nickel, but we'll see if they give Clark Phillips a shot. Can he do it full time? I think this move really solidifies exactly what you needed out of this spot that you were hoping to get out of Simmons last year. Couldn't do it. So now you bring in another veteran to try to do it. Would have been interesting, Mike, if they went after Malachi Starks in the draft. Right. I think this all but eliminates that now because you have DeMarco Helms coming back off injury who flashed as well. So now you can turn your attention to other needs. Will that mean for the first time in forever that the Falcons can actually do something that you've been clamoring for, and that is trade back in the draft?
Yeah, it's something that just, for whatever reason, you know, again, one general manager and one year has nothing to do with the other year. We were under the impression the last time they did try. And again, the one thing when you're a general manager, not saying these guys fit, whether it's baseball or football, you can always say, well, we tried, just couldn't get it to go. And, of course, as the media, you just go, okay, you take them at their word. But I know that it was reported the year we wound up, and not wound up because he's been a great signing, he got his big contract as A.J. Terrell, but he was at 15. There was some thought they were going to try to trade down. Takes two to tango. You got no one to move with. You know, in hindsight, would you have wanted to trade out of the four, you know, and go get Micah Parsons? Well, yeah, everybody would, but that's not the way that draft played out. The one thing is interesting is if you feel that we're going to go get edge rush or defensive tackle, there will be some guys there at 15. But there's a lot of mock drafts, and a lot of guys are hitting us up on the text line. Can't answer all your texts, 404-726-0929. But they're saying, okay, the latest CBS, they got us taking Mykael Williams at edge. I got no problem with that. I'm down with that. We get that. We're talking about that Friday. Carl and I are up at Flowery Branch in the Ticketmaster studios, and we're talking to Mykael Williams. That's going to be a fun show.
Now, here's my question. How much credence do you still give to old Hair Helmet?
Old Mel Kiper. What's he got going on?
He's got both Walker and Williams gone by the number 10 pick.
Yep. And there are some, and I saw a new Daniel Jeremiah pick where that happens as well. Shamar Stewart is gone. James Pierce is gone. If you liked him out of Tennessee, some guys either love or hate his game. But Mykael Williams, at least on this recent CBS, would be there. Malachi Starks goes at 17, and we think we've covered the safety position for the short term. I just know what we need, but maybe they think they prioritize defensive tackle more than defensive edge or edge rush outside linebacker.
I need sacks.
Gotta be.
I need sacks.
And Leonard Floyd is also a short-term fix
here.
Yeah,
and he's...
I mean, unless, and I know I've said this a million times, unless they really feel, but how do you know what Braylon Trice is going to be coming off the knee injury?
You have no idea.
I mean, he is a guy that we liked. D-Led always says, he's just a guy. I always think I was impressed with what I saw, you know, in the summertime. And then, of course, he gets hurt in the Miami Dolphins preseason game.
Well, what do we always hear about this? It's always the year after. It's not the year after that you come back and be explosive. Guys like Adrian Peterson are the anomaly. When you have a major reconstructive surgery on your knee,
right,
it usually takes you to get back to 100% of whatever that is for Braylon Trice. I don't know if he can be counted on this year to be anything other than a contributor.
Right.
And that's not my number 15 overall pick. I need a stud. I don't need a contributor.
Right. I mean, we got Ebikadi. You know, again, if you get that really elite edge rusher, then he will improve his numbers just based on the nature of NFL and offensive line play. There'll be double teams, chipping. He may free up and get more chances. We don't have Grady. We had to move on. We get all that. But where are you standing right now with your defensive tackle rotation? Is Rook a row going to be able to row his boat onto the quarterback and disrupt things and make everybody around him better?
Is Onyemata going to be here?
You and I, especially with these signings, keep anticipating him gone. They did restructure him before last season, but he's still here. And that would be a savings.
$8 million.
Right.
So, did he play well enough last year?
And we don't really have a center other than Neusel. Technically, we can match any offer, but I'm a little surprised we haven't heard anything about the center position. Bradbury signed with the Patriots.
Yeah, I don't know
why. Former Viking.
Yeah, I don't know why they haven't shored that up by now. I mean, especially with all this money now that's being allocated to all these players that you're bringing in, Leonard Floyd, and today with the signing. I mean, I don't know what that one's perplexing to me, Mike. And then the other thing we find out today.
All right, you're not going to believe this. If you're driving your car, two hands on the wheel. According to D. Orlando Ledbetter, the Falcons are going to talk to, and he says an hour ago, set to re-sign Felipe Franks.
What?
Why are you bringing up old?
What?
Yes.
What?
The tight end / emergency quarterback. Guy did throw for over 25 touchdowns with the Florida Gators, had a decent final year with Arkansas, and then here he was a dude. Felipe Franks, veteran tight end / emergency quarterback, that one throws me for a bit of a loop.
Yeah, because he doesn't fit in either room. Right now you have Kyle Pitts and Charlie Warner.
Right.
You don't need them.
Right.
And right now
you're not going to trade Pitts. A lot of guys just say, somebody hit me up.
No.
Well, they're going to trade. No, if you're trading Pitts, Felipe Franks is not a viable option to step in.
And last time I checked, does Felipe Franks play special teams?
He has.
Does he? I don't.
He has.
And I don't know if he does,
now,
if he does it well.
Felipe last year was in Carolina. He was waived in the end of camp, and he was signed to the practice squad, active roster. Then waived, and then back to practice squad, then active roster. So he basically seesawed off the active roster and practice squad for Carolina last year.
I mean, he'll be a guy, I guess, that's familiar with the building, knows some of the players, good vibes guy. I don't foresee him getting much work with the ones or the twos at either position.
Right. How can we ever forget, though, his debut, week 11, 2021, first pass intercepted against the New England Patriots?
Yeah, I don't know what this is. I mean, do they just want to
I saw that, and like, yeah, guy just hit me up. Are you blanking serious? Yes. According to D. Led, he'll be in the building tomorrow. D. is of the opinion we're going to sign him. Felipe Franks.
Yeah.
But again, perhaps it's just a body for camp.
Why are you bringing up old?
And, I don't know.
And Mike, we also...
If Carl was here right now, I can't do it, but Carl would be doing his laugh.
Yeah.
He would be doing his Marcus Davenport laugh.
Yeah, which neither one of us... Yeah, thank you. Robert.
Yes,
neither
I should have asked for it. Matter of fact, I blew the moment. Let me start off again. Hold on. Breaking news, D-Led reporting, the Falcons are talking to Felipe Franks. Thank you.
I love it. And the other thing we found out today, Mike, whether he is in the building or not, when this airs, I don't know. I hope not. But Kirk Cousins is going back on QB on Netflix.
Yeah, man. And by the way, if anybody at Netflix is in town or listening, Carl and I would provide some great content if you want to have somebody killing Kirk Cousins. And basically, if Kirk doesn't outline or if doesn't get brought up in the show, we can give you a little history lesson of how, no, I'm not hurt. I'm fine. I'm fine. Nothing to see here. I'm fine. To, oh, no, I was jammed up. My arm was whack. I was really, really not well. So, I mean, and then asking Arthur Blank for the meeting. And asking for a trade to a team where he'll be a starter. If you missed it earlier today, guys, this is our Falcon Report, guys. And Josina Anderson says we are fielding offers, and they're asking for a third. Now, we just talked to Greg Allman from Fox Sports, covers the division. He's of the opinion, as is Albert Breer, that maybe we eat half of the $27.5 million, pay a team half of his salary to take him off so we don't lose.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We don't lose all the money, and we basically buy a pick. Could it be a third? That maybe sounds a bit much. Remember, guys, we got a third-round pick for Matt Ryan from the Colts once we lost all our leverage when we were talking about getting Deshaun Watson.
I would pick him up, rent a nice car, and drive him like Mike Bell style to Hartsfield International Jackson Airport, yeah. Mike. It's something that I think would, quite frankly, absolve Terry Fontenot of a lot of sins. Right. If he is able to pull off a coup like that, I think you look at the season almost in an entirely new light. It's like a fresh start. That's how I would view being able to pull off this move. Do I think it's realistic? No. Third round pick, Mike? Third round pick?
Well, I mean, Matt Ryan at the end, as we said, without any leverage. The Colts were looking for a quarterback. So unfortunately, I thought it was a good spot for Matt with good run game, good weapons, good O-line. None of that happened. It was an unmitigated disaster, unfortunately, for Matt. But if you could get a third round pick and you pay $15 million of that, whatever, however you want to figure out, it'll be prorated, and we get him off the books, I think that's where you go. And then you bring in whoever's left standing, if it's Jameis Winston or any of the, you know, the rogues gallery of backup, perpetual backup quarterbacks, right?
I cannot see a way. And I know there's been so much debate about this, Mike, on this show, on every show on the radio station, how he can be there first practice of the summer. How can
I get it. We've said this. We've had this conversation a dozen times, and there's still a lot of guys out there going, no, he's a good backup. You want a clean slate. You don't want it. There's the same argument for why he didn't like Michael Penix Jr. You don't want him over Michael Penix Jr.'s shoulder, because in this city, there's always going to be somebody wanting Cousins over Penix, and then it gets to be a weirdness and a strangeness you don't need. So, like, I'm excited. I thought we saw enough from Michael Penix Jr. Yes, he made some mistakes in those first three games, like everyone else who's been a rookie this year. Just wish we could have seen him do it over 17 weeks. You know, the 18 weeks of the season, 17 games, and then we'd be ahead of it. And maybe he'd be as good as Jaden Daniels, you know, or a Bo Nix. Unfortunately, you know, they decided to do both, which I still think is the most colossal mistake in the history of the NFL. But if as D-Led said, if you can find a way to get Kirk off the books and eat some of that money for a third-round pick, then that's a hell of a coup for Terry Fontenot.
Yeah, and listen, we all, Mike, and I'm not speaking for you, I think you agree, we all understand why they're doing what they're doing. It makes the most fiscal, to use that word, sense to keep him as long as possible, even if it's into the summer, into training camp, and try to get as much value for him as possible. I understand the philosophy. I get it. But I think there are other things that are as important to this football team that are not tangibly related to dollars and cents. Maybe you disagree with me on that.
Right.
Maybe you feel like it's all business and nothing else matters. And that's fine, too. But for me, as Mike was just saying, the inner sanctum that is the football team, that is the locker room, that is, even if Kirk Cousins is fine and plays ball and is a good boy, it's still hovering over the franchise. Anytime Penix has a bad play, anytime if God forbid he has a 2 or 3 game bad stretch, you know what's going to be there.
Yeah, I know that, and it was something we talked about yesterday. One of the listeners who came up to our broadcast up at Twin Peaks up in Tennessee yesterday, great time, thanks again to everybody who showed up, was asking us, you know, do you feel that Penix Jr. has shown you enough? And I said, well, I got to believe he has, because this is where we're going with it. But I thought that, you know, the Giants game, like, remember the first, you know, his first throw to Pitts. Pitts volleyballs it for an interception. That's not on him. He shows you the moxie. Yeah, it's a word, moxie. The huevos, the eggs, the balls to go back. How about the Drake London throw? I thought everything you want to see from Michael Penix Jr. is when he goes to Drake, they can't make it. Remember, he comes back, gets the touchdown, and pushes off and gets into the scrap with the corner.
Yep.
I love it. We could never get Matt and Julio to make the red zone thing like that work. High point throws, making the connection. I'm a believer in Penix Jr., because you got to be. Hey, man, that's your Falcon Report. We'll come back. We got a story. It's a couple of things about March Madness. It's a strong arm story, but a story we can all relate to. There's a golfer who literally threw the perfect game. I'll explain.
See, it's personal injury law.
Hey, man, one thing we forgot to mention in the Falcon Report, a couple guys hit us up on the text line asking about it. Chris in for Carl today on Dukes and Bell. We were talking yesterday. There was a story that it actually dropped about 48 hours before. It was about Trayvon Walker, and Jaguar is shopping him, and then SI picked up on it in Sporting News, and you guys asked us. So we talked about it because we said, man, if he was available, yes, I think maybe a half a dozen, maybe more teams in the NFL will be all over it, because that guy's a proven piece. You know, 20 and a half sacks last year. Don't know where it's going. There was another follow-up today from Sports Illustrated where an anonymous, GM or front office type said that, it's not really confirming that this is actually happening. Just saying, if you did it, yeah, it's a great way to reset if Jacksonville is intent on basically hitting the reset button. But what are they? And how do you – it's like what the Marlins usually do every year. How do you ever have anything good when you keep chipping away at the things that should be the base of it, right?
Well, my confusion is – you use your number one overall pick to get a guy like Trayvon Walker.
And the first year with Urban Meyer was an unmitigated disaster for everybody involved, but the next 2 years he's been a rock star.
Like, you have him, and you have Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
You have him, and you have Sunshine over
Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence. And those are your basically foundational building block pieces on offense and defense. And I said Kirk Cousins, by the way, because he's on the screen and ESPN was talking about him. So basically, why would you get rid of one of those bedrocks just to try to find that guy? Like, essentially, that's what you're doing. You'd be giving up on him to try to find his replacement because you're going to need his replacement eventually.
Right.
I don't get it, Mike.
A lot of guys hitting us up, too, today. And again, you know, by the way, you can always call in, too. You can talk to Orin. If you're good, we'll put you on the radio, man. 404-726-0929.
Do it.
Do you like the idea of what we've done today? We picked up a guy who's certainly familiar with Raheem Morris. He played for him with the LA Rams. He has had a lot of injuries, two of the last 3 years, but he also has, he's only 27. So it's basically the same attitude they're taking with Mike Hughes a couple of years ago. They're taking with our latest signee, Jordan Fuller. So that's basically where it's at. Also, who's the guy? Morgan Fox. Got Megan Fox on the brain. Morgan Fox, rotational edge rusher, situational guy, also with the Rams. We signed him last week.
And then Divine
Diablo. But the big one today, a lot of guys are hitting us up on the text line going, are you serious? Yes. According to D-Led. Thanks, Mac. We're talking to Felipe Franks.
I just don't understand.
Stay tuned on that one.
Don't understand. Because here's the thing, Mike. If you're not going to have Kirk Cousins as the backup quarterback, it's not going to be Felipe Franks.
No, that's the emergency quarterback. And by the way, Jameis Winston visited with the Giants a day ago or so, and nothing happened. So whatever he was asking for, they weren't buying it. So Jameis is still out there. Look, if you do move on from Kirk, if you missed our conversation, check out the Odyssey app, guys. Have it on your phone. Listen to it in your car. It's easier, but so you can rewind. Greg Allman was out there, if you missed our Falcon report, basically saying that it's hard to buy someone just handing over a third-round pick and taking over the entire contract. You're going to have to eat a good chunk of that. But we knew that going in. If we get any chance of getting Kirk Cousins out of here.
It's better than eating all of it, which is what we're doing right now.
Hey, man, speaking of eating it, segue.
Nice.
This one is, for the record books, got to be absolute perfection. We talked about it a few times today, and I know I'm taking a lot of pages out of Steak Shapiro's playbook from the steakhouse, but this is just epic, and let me just break this down. If you're in your car, and try not to go bananas and speed home to eat some of this, and you might want to whip it up in your kitchen if you got the ingredients. Scotty Scheffler, the second time now, he's got to do the Champions Dinner for the Masters. And for those that aren't golf fans, you'll get the angle here on the food in a second. If you are the Masters champion, you pick the menu. You're serving everybody in a green jacket. All the elites are there, and it's your choice. This will be served on April 8th at Augusta. It's the Masters Club dinner, and I've got to be honest. Oren, Chris, most of us feel this is perfection.
Yes.
If there was a perfect game for a menu, this is it. Let me run this by you, and you guys can dive in. Let's start with the appetizers. Scotty Scheffler rolling with cheeseburger sliders served Scotty style. So I don't know if there's a little Texas kind of vibe on that. Firecracker shrimp, sweet Thai chili, and sriracha mayo. These are things I get in a restaurant.
Yeah, those are both home runs.
I mean, these are things you could get, you know, at a place like, an upscale place would do sliders, and sometimes a casual restaurant can do it, and a mom-and-pop greasy spoon can do it, but sliders and firecracker shrimp. Paying tribute to his dad, who's always got his back, Papa Chef's meatball and ravioli bites, pecorino cheese, tomato basil sauce. Fabulous.
That may be my favorite part right there.
You can't go wrong with that.
Oof.
Who doesn't like meatballs? I mean, You can't be friends with Duke Zimbel if you don't like meatballs. This is fabulous. So we're killing it. First course, because he's a Texas kid, this is where we have had a little bit of pushback, just a small bit, from some of our audience. Texas-style chili. He's from Texas. Cheddar cheese, jalapenos, jalapenos, as Marines would say, and then corn chips. Oren, you said slight departure from what he did for the apps last time.
I had the tortilla soup last time, so it's going from the tortilla soup to the Texas-style chili.
One of our listeners said maybe a French onion. I love chili.
That doesn't go with the flair of the rest of the menu.
Texas-style, Jack.
Come on, man.
Now the main course, and this is what one of our listeners said. Yeah, you would eat this. I said on Twitter I'd eat this every night, and he said you'd drop dead of a heart attack. Well, hopefully not. Wood-fired cowboy ribeye. Or, healthier option, blackened redfish. Can't go wrong. And the sides, this is perfect. Family-style mac and cheese, jalapeno cream corn, soy-glazed Brussels sprouts, chipotle lime-roasted sweet potatoes. That's perfect.
Yum.
It's perfect.
Yum, yum, yum.
I mean, what part of this is, if you're on a desert island, that. Every
great meal. How can you go to a desert island to get that kind of meal? Yes.
Or if the warden comes to talk to you, all right, Mike, what are you going to have before we put you in old Sparky?
Just slide in Scotty Scheffler's menu under the door. I want this.
I take some of that. And then dessert, and this is where he knocks it out of the park. Warm chocolate chip skillet cookie. So you're going to have melted chocolate on a hot skillet topped with beautiful serving of vanilla ice cream. It's perfect. It's like, I just want to go home and eat this right now. My wife is listening. Let's go get the ingredients, please. This is perfect. I can't take my mind. I'm stealing Steak's playbook. I can't get my mind off of this. It's the perfect menu.
Well, we can hear his breakdown, hopefully, on Friday.
Yes.
When he comes and visits us.
Now, I was talking with Steak today, back and forth. Again, he's got lots of responsibilities, kids. But Steak may be hanging with us at Twin Peaks. We'll be doing the show in Buckhead, guys, on Piedmont. It'll be a packed house. It'll be a blast because we have the tournament action. So come on down, and hopefully Steak can oblige us and we can break this down even further.
It'll probably go something like, I need a little bit more of a cream dip than
if you want to go a lobster bisque, there's lots of things. You said it earlier, not oysters. Not everybody will do that. Whether they're, I like raw seafood. Some people are afraid of it, and I understand why. But like an oysters Rockefeller where you bake the spinach and the cheese. But I think Scotty just nailed it. And hey, man, Scotty Scheffler. You, sir, just drew a perfect game. Thank you.
Plus, yeah.
And that trumps anything else in the sports world for my money today on a Wednesday.
No notes.
Yesterday, though, we did see some NCAA action, and we actually did get some March Madness. I know some folks, when they announced those play-in games, Chris, they were kind of lukewarm on it. But then, of course, from Montgomery, Alabama, Alabama State provided this.
Simpson will inbound under his own basket. Pinedo pressures the ball. He throws a baseball right-hand pass, arcing toward the far free throw line. It's loose under the basket. Laid up and in by Knox. 0.7 of a second to go. Amar Knox gives Alabama State the lead, 70-68.
I'm not swag. They're swag. That was whack, and that was great. I will say this, though. When I saw the highlights, because, no, I did not watch the game. When I saw the highlights this morning on ESPN, I was thinking that, just under 4 seconds, right, 3.5? You kind of have time now, and with the way how we can get into tenths of seconds, Chris, to kind of do the kind of Christian Laettner type deal. You could have, got a guy and they had a chance for a look.
I just think that's asking a lot from Alabama State, man. The way they did it was great.
Right.
That level of, we have to leave that to the Krzyzewskis of the world to draw up.
Jay Wright, he had a great point in the post-game conversation. He's like, that's that play you practice when you're in practice and you never get it right in practice.
Right.
It never goes the way you want to in practice. But you have to instill the belief in your guys that, like, hey, we're practicing against ourselves because we know what's coming. But, hey, just rest assured that if you do this in a game, there's a chance it could work. But, yeah,
right.
You run it in practice and it never works.
Yeah, it's like, remember, if you ever played for a bad high school football team, hand goes up right here, they would throw in those plays just to keep you interested when, like, your season was pretty much over. You do, like the unbalanced line, and I was, like, the shotgun center. So they'd have me, like, I would shotgun the ball to Pat, and I would go out for – which, of course, they'd never call that in a million years. Nobody would – it's the stupidest thing. And I ran because I'm a little bow-legged. They called it Duckman. That was the play. Like, Duckman on one. Never going to happen. But just trying to keep the kids interested when you've already lost your season. You're 2-6.
We actually, in my high school, Mike, believe it or not, we did the Philly special.
No way.
Before it was ever a thing.
No kidding.
We had one stud wide receiver, and our quarterback was good. The rest of the team stunk. So the wide receiver would take the snap. The quarterback would fake a route, get the ball thrown back to him.
Right.
The wide receiver would then go out, throw the ball, catch the ball, and then it never worked.
Yeah, but that's like what Jay Wright said about that, because good for Alabama State. It worked. The shot actually wasn't a bad shot coming back the other way. They actually had a decent look coming the other way. And then the other big story last night, they certainly did hear the chatter. And look, it's the most overused thing in all of sports from high school to the pros, and that's disrespect. And Hubert Davis preached it. Carolina embraced it. And, man, did Carolina just absolutely boat race San Diego State.
Sweet, sweet revenge, as I said earlier, yeah. Mike Bell. It was beautiful.
Hey, we had a great conversation with Clark Kellogg, and if you missed it, we're going to probably play it early in the show tomorrow. Tomorrow, guys, we're going to be doing the show at Hooters on Cumberland, right there on Cobb Parkway. So Georgia taking on Gonzaga. He certainly gives Georgia more than a puncher's chance in that game. The 8-9 is such an even matchup. But you'll hear Clark tomorrow if you missed it. Coming up, though, the Braves bringing back an oldie but a goodie. But does it make sense? And what Brian Snicker had to say about one of his starting pitchers, not exactly a ringing endorsement. Hey, man, he is an oldie but a goodie. He's one of the best closers in recent history, and certainly his record speaks for itself. I think he's fourth in all-time saves. But does Craig Kimbrell have anything left in the tank as he signs a $2 million one-year deal with the Braves?
If it's anything like last year, Mike, the answer to that would be no.
Well, he was good. I mean, it was like he was outright terrible all year for the Orioles, but just down crunch time when they needed him, like last 6 weeks of the season, basically, Craig was not good.
And the Braves would need him for all 162.
Yeah, I mean, but this is where Alex Anthopoulos is living. If you're just tuning in, it is Dukes and Bell. That is Chris in for Carl today. This hour of the show is brought to you by B-Dubs. A reminder, guys, you can't stop in. Order Buffalo Wild Wings. Go and pick it up on your way home or for your next big event. But, yeah, they're bringing back Craig Kimbrell. Situational, you know, setup guy. I mean, I don't necessarily see him as an eighth inning guy over, you know, before Raisel Iglesias comes in, I don't think. But this is, guys, this is such a departure from the night shift. This is not good, you know, where the Braves are living right now as far as the bullpen. I think even the most diehard, you know, always glass half full Braves fan would look at this bullpen and go, ugh.
Well, right.
And then, like, I don't blame them for not, you know, there's some moves, you know, not bringing Minter back. I think Minter was showing signs of not being the same guy last year, and they moved on.
Here's the problem. Who's getting the damn ball to Iglesias?
Yeah.
They're counting on
that's it.
A mix of guys, Mike, that have never done it before. Pierce Johnson, Dylan Lee, Daisbell Hernandez. Right. These are the guys.
Now, Dylan Lee's been good. Grant gave us a breakdown yesterday on him in spring and
yes,
last year.
But I don't think going into a season from the jump, he's ever had these sorts of expectations to be a consistent back-end bridge type guy. He was more of an in-the-mix you know, specialist turned into quality reliever.
But no, the Jimenez injury, not having Jimenez just
huge.
Kills you.
It's huge.
But that's why, this is why, and again, I try not to, look, there are certain things that I feel that I'm right about all the time, and the Braves not having enough pitching is one of them. I don't think I'm right all the time, but I do know that I'm right about this. They don't have enough pitching. Alex, and this is his philosophy, I think we all know it, and it's resulted in this Braves team always being in the mix for the division and winning it. And winning a World Series, but he just does not spend the money on the bullpen. Or at least spend the money this year on pitching. The bullpen this year is not good. And the questions you bring up are legitimate questions. So unless you're just going to continue to see, and I heard Grant talking about this with Andy Randy today, yes, there'll be more guys that'll be DFA'd or released, and we'll be picking them up off the scrap heap, I guess.
The last year that Craig Kimbrell was the Craig Kimbrell that we know and love.
2 years ago.
Was more like 3 years ago. I mean, with the Dodgers, he was okay. 22 or 27 saves. But his ERA...
He was an all-star in 23 with the Phillies.
But his ERA was 3.26 by the end of the year. That's not a back end of the bullpen. Like, that's way too high.
Look, we know what Kimbrell is, what he's been. I said to Chris earlier, Braves fans will remember. Well, Orin, was that right? It was Freddie Gonzalez was a skipper, right? That was the last time before we got to the drought, then Snicker obviously got him back in, where we had that. Remember we had the Dodgers in that series, and we needed like a five-out save? I want to say it was, look it up, make sure I'm right, 2013. And they wouldn't do it. Freddie wouldn't do it. He's like, oh, that inflexibility, that Bobby Cox stuff drives me crazy. And Kimbrell could have, Kimbrell could have given you a seven-out save. He was so good back then. And the Braves lost that series, and that was it, kind of like, you know, in the wilderness. But we know what Kimbrell is, nine-time All-Star, fifth in all-time saves, guy's money. But the question is, what do you got now? So it'll be a hell of a story. We rolled the dice. I mean, this is different than Chris Sale. This is a guy clearly at the end of the line. And what is he going to be?
Yeah, he's what, 35, 36 years old?
But you said it, Dylan Lee, Pierce Johnson, Aaron Bummer. How does that work as far as the middle and setups? You know, Daisbell Hernandez?
No, that's not good enough for me.
No, man.
I mean, but that doesn't mean it. All we're saying, Mike, that doesn't mean it can't happen.
No, it could work.
It could.
But it's, yeah.
Right, but why? This is the question I feel like I ask myself every year about the Braves, and I ask it two times a year, at the beginning of the season and at the trade deadline. You're a World Series contending team. Why don't you do everything you can to make yourself in the best position possible?
Right.
And I get the purse strings are what they are, and I get the payroll is what it is. But you're telling me you're willing to compromise seasons. Because, Mike, this isn't us projecting. The proof is in the pudding.
Legit.
What happens every year?
Right.
They run out of pitching.
And so this year, you're going to have to hope that you can scrap it together, pick more guys. This will be one of those years where guys get released. You're going to pick them up. You're going to run them through. You know, and the other side of the equation is the starting pitching. Now, Dave O'Brien reports, and this is Dave's words, not mine, but he says this is about a half hour ago. Snicker was doing a media scrum there at Steinbrenner Field taking on the Yankees tonight. He says that Snicker said, let's say, a much less than full-throated endorsement of Ian Anderson's spring work. Dave says that Snit said the obvious, that the walks have been the issue, and he's still got work to do. You know, just a week or two ago, we felt really good about Ian Anderson. Coming off of Strider's amazing performance, he looked terrible. Talk about Anderson. And Anderson, this is also the end of the road. You can't be going back to the minors. This is it. There's nowhere to go. You either stick with the club or you're no longer a Brave.
Well, anytime Snick gets full-throated, we know that something serious is going on.
Well, he said this is less than full-throated.
Less than full-throated.
You know, Snicker was asked about it. He was like, well, you know, Ian, he's got to cut down those walks. Got to be better.
I wonder, was there a chortle in there?
I mean, he's got to be, you know, better with those, with the walks. He knows what he's got to do. He's got to be better with that.
Okay, here's my question then, Mike. Grant Holmes, you ready to turn the ball over to him?
He's batting down, Joe.
Yeah, that's a guy.
Well, and then A.J. Smith-Shawver.
Who has a lot of potential.
Yes. Time to put it into practice. Time to be the man.
I think I heard.
This is why I go bananas with these same conversations, and Carl always laughs when I go, it was Tukey Toussaint, it was Sean Newcomb, it was Fulton. It's like, when is one of these guys going to just stop, come on, stick, and be the guy? And be the man. Elder, Bryce Elder, from All-Star to Also-Ran. You know, that's what it just drives me bananas. Just go spend some big money on frontline starting pitching. That's my beef. Strider looks great. I think we're all excited. Don't even need to see him in Gwinnett. I don't know what the plan is. They have a plan. But if he can throw one more outing like that, you know, figure it out. But let's get him up here sooner than later.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is, and I touched on this briefly earlier in the show, I think it's worth bringing back up, Mike, how are you managing these innings? Because Sale and Lopez last year both needed significant extra rest. Is that not going to be the case this year? Lopez coming off a season where he threw more innings than he ever has before. Chris Sale having the type of season that he had was outstanding, but he maxed himself out. Is he going to be ready to do that again this year, or are you going to have to throw a six-man? And who is that going to be? You mentioned Smith-Shawver. Schwellenbach is going to be in the mix.
And I like Schwellenbach. Now, Schwellenbach I believe in, and I certainly think that they believe in Schwellenbach, and I think he's going tonight. We'll double-check that with Davis. I think tomorrow against the Phillies is going to be a bullpen start.
With Ian Anderson struggling, those type of guys become invaluable. Right. You're going to give Hurston Waldrop another shot? He came up for a couple of starts last year and got absolutely shelled. I think he gave up 7 runs each in 2 starts.
Oof.
But those are the guys that are next. Like, you don't, again, this isn't, you know, Shangri-La here in the farm system.
And I apologize if you know, guys always say, hey, Mike's crying again, because it never gets fixed. Okay? Look, I get it. You know, 2 years ago, we had the greatest lineup known to man. And then you go play the Phillies and Strider, you had 2.5 pitchers. You know, I mean, it's never enough. And that just, it's just one of those things. Look, I understand it. You commit to the one, you know, your lineup. You know, you've got all your guys 1 through 8. You've got them all locked up, and that's great. Also, according to Dave O'Brien, and we'll talk to Grant later in the week, but Chipper is out there today at Steinbrenner Field. Chipper talking with Riley and Matt Olson. Others in the dugout stood near the cage when he wasn't called over to sign autographs. But, you know, I know fans always say, why isn't Chipper the hitting coach? Because he's got things to do, like enjoy his retirement.
Yeah, he doesn't want to.
Chipper is always certainly a great vital asset when he's around because he knows what he's talking about, and the guys always seem to respond to what he says.
Well, and I like the names that you brought up that he was talking to today because both of those guys need a bounce back year in the biggest way possible. Olson, when you go back and look at the numbers, as we like to say, back of the baseball card doesn't look awful. But we saw that just the elongated slumps for weeks and weeks at a time where he found that giant loop in his swing and he just couldn't make contact with the baseball.
Right.
And then Riley with the injury, he had the scare earlier in spring, but it looks like he's going to be just fine now. We need him to be a 35-40 home run again guy.
According to our man Grant McCauley, Jurickson Profar is coming back for the Bravos Thursday. So remember we were talking initially, they said he'll be ready for opening day.
Yeah.
Well, he's going to be ready to play the rest of the spring game. So that's good news for Jurickson Profar. You want to get into a rhythm, you know, hit the ground running and do what he did for the Padres in left field.
Because otherwise it's
your guy,
Kelnick.
You just hate Kelnick. Also, this from Dave O'Brien. In case you're wondering whatever happened to Anderson Pilar, Rule 5 pick. They got him for $100,000. They claimed him, and now they gave him back to the Marlins for $50,000.
Well, talk about a team that could use everything it could get. They might set the record for most losses this season.
Hey, man, one of the cool things, if you didn't see it today, and you know me, I like to see baseball start, you know, like in Cincinnati, old school, you know, back in the day, you know. But they do it in Japan for obvious reasons. The marketing, the Dodgers have leveraged all their loot for all those Japanese stars. Ohtani goes yard today. Japanese fan. Looked like kind of the play with the Orioles. Remember the kid interfered? What was that kid's a Yankee fan? The kid that interfered?
I know what you're talking about.
Anyway, it's kind of the same play. They weren't going to, needless to say, in Japan, say Ohtani's home run is going to be disallowed. No. The funny story today, if you didn't see it, remember the Bartman play, the Marlins and the Cubs, and the famous play on the third base line where Bartman reaches over and steals the ball? Well, today, you had a play where Max Muncy's going over, drifting over to third, and they get where the net ends, and he's trying to make a catch, and somebody wearing a Dodger hat makes the catch and kind of takes it away. Who's that guy? Former USC star quarterback Rodney Peete.
What?
Aura, did you see it?
He did it so nonchalantly, and there was like no sort of like regret in his face when he did it. Just like, yeah, I caught the ball. And he had a Dodgers pullover there too, yes. Dodgers hoodie on when he did it.
I mean, it's hysterical. Rodney Peete, you go look at the video. It's out there. Pop fly into foul territory. Muncy was ticked off. Didn't matter because they swept the Cubbies 2-0. Now back to Arizona for spring training. What a great way to start the season. I'll never understand.
They've really bungled this thing up. Well, I have a question for you, though. Was Holly standing next to him?
Yeah, let me look. Photo, let's see here. No, I just see Rodney Peete. I can't, I don't see, or that's not Holly. Is that the daughter? I don't know who that is. Either way, it's not. But
that's a shame. That's a miss.
Dodgers do sweep. The Dodgers win in Japan. Hey, a couple of guys hitting us up on the text line. This comes from Ronnie. He says, oh, no, this is from Daryl. He agrees with Chris and I about what we're talking about. He goes, yes, I'm excited about having Kimbrel return. It'd be great if he could get back to what he was. But let's be realistic. This is just a budget move. Well, that's right.
That's all. That's Darryl's what they have to do. Because their initial payroll, guys and gals out there, is so high, it's like 5 or 6 in baseball, it just limits what you can do on the fringes. Like, you're basically just making Craig Kimbrel-type moves at this point because that's all Alex is allowed to do, and we know that. But because you invested so heavily in guys like Olsen and Riley, this is the exchange. This is the tit-for-tat exchange that you have to pay if you're a Braves fan.
So we will find out if they can make it work. The Phillies are pretty good. Now, the Mets, I'm not sure about the Mets. They've been, you know, I'm not ready to buy
them.
Their,
we talk about issues. They got their own issues. Right
but, but it's the same situation. As long as Alex has been here, we've won a World Series, but we've also, I think, not had enough pitching. There you go. You know where I stand on this issue. We're off early tonight, guys, 6:30, because we got some more NCAA. Can we get the fireworks we got last night, like we saw from Alabama State? That would be something. Tomorrow, guys, Hooters. Cumberland, guys, Cobb Parkway. We'll be there from 2 to 7 and have the Georgia game. We'll give you as much as we can tell you about it. And if you're a Georgia fan, come on down, man. Wear your gear. Watch your take on Gonzaga. If you're a Gonzaga fan, nerd, you're welcome as well. But
it'll
be a pro-Georgia party. Coming up, can we really get Kirk Cousins off the books? There's an NFL insider who says their team's willing to play ball.